Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. The one thing about today's show that I love, because this show is so important as far as you learning about astrology and metaphysics and karma concepts. Astrology, metaphysics, and karma concepts can be very complicated issues. So it's my job on Mondays to help clear that complication up and help you learn. Okay, today's topic is called Significant Karmic Aspects. Along the lines of the philosophy that all things must and do pass, this topic is very critical in understanding compatibility in relationships, and usually the one energy vibration, the one single vibration that exists between two charts that will spell the eventual separation or passing of one or both mates. You know, unfortunately, in all relationships, relationships do eventually end either through breakup, rejection, separation, or eventually through death of one of the partners. Occasionally, in rare instances, both of you will pass into the light together. We call that twin flame, double twin flame. But still, a lot of people wonder why it is that you can be so compatible with people in your life, even friendships. You know, why you can be so compatible with people in your life, and the charts are right, the rising signs can be the same or trine each other, the moon signs in nice aspects, and Venus and Mars and such. And why is it that one day suddenly something happens and the color or the flavor or the vibration in that relationship that has done well for sometimes many, many years can change? The interesting thing that I have noticed about life as far as understanding karma is that if you do look at your charts, first of all, when you're comparing two charts, you will notice a lot of things that really bond you together. You know, like if you have an air complement, like it's so funny how oftentimes people with Gemini, Aquarius, or Libra planets complementing each other between two charts will have lots to talk about. You know, they'll be like a couple of birdies sitting on the fence, chirp, 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 you know, and that's a real free flow of energy until you run out of things to say. You could have these air complements, Libra, Aquarius, and Gemini, that could support a relationship mentally. You might have some water complements, like let's say you have some Scorpio, Cancer, or Pisces trines between your two charts. Let's say you're a Scorpio and your lover is Pisces, Moon, and Cancer rising. Well, there's a big emotional rapport there. Lots of tender, nurturing, gentle touching and caressing and fondling that can support the relationship. Eye contact, telepathy, and that's a plus. You might get some fire compliments, like you might have Sag Aries in your chart and your partner or your friend has Leo Aries, so you'll get lots of fire trines and grand trines between you, and that will make for a high energy relationship. Lots of fun, lots of laughing, lots of activity, lots of get up and go, and also maybe even sports or sex or anything. Lots of fire adds to lots of power usually. And then the Earth, of course, the Capricorn, Virgo, and the Taurus. When you have Capricorn, Virgo, and Taurus complements between two charts, this makes for relationships to be more practical, more logical, more ethical, more Victorian oftentimes, more hardworking, or more nose to the grindstone. You know, people that have common sense usually have Earth in their charts, and when they find other people that are just as clean and neat and tidy and hardworking and value conscious and money oriented as they are, that's a compliment too. So we do find that when we look at charts and compatibilities, for free flow energy, you want to look for trines and sextiles and conjunctions oftentimes for most planets. And for karma, you know, when you talk about karma, it means that if you have two planets between two people's charts, like if your moon is squaring your lover's moon, that's a karma, okay? Or if your Mercury is squaring your lover's Saturn or your best friend's Saturn, that's a karma. Whenever we get two planets in square to each other in a relationship comparison, that is called a significant karmic aspect. Now, squares are what we're going to focus on today because, frankly, oppositions in relationships, almost any aspects you have, in relationships will feature balance. Did you know that? That's right. With a few exceptions, Uranus conjunctions, Uranus oppositions, Saturn conjunctions, Saturn oppositions between two charts can spell a short-term or an eventual breakup for sure, guaranteed. So you do want Saturn and Uranus trines between two people and friends or lovers or even in family. Imagine being born to somebody. Let's say your mother has a Uranus conjunct your Mars or Uranus square your moon. My God, you know, your mother might tick you off if she has that kind of aspect in your chart. See, my dad has Uranus in Aquarius, which is pretty darn good. It's trying all my Libra planets, and I like that. And it's the opposition to some of my Leo, which is okay. And my mother also has Uranus in Aquarius, too, which is pretty darn good. It's trying my Uranus, I believe. It's trying some of my Libra, so that's nice. Just wondered about that. But oftentimes, you know, when you look at compatibility charts, we don't like to look at the end of the road or the finished chapter or the part that will close the book on a relationship. But sometimes if you do become good in astrology and you do become good in comparison, you will notice that there's that one aspect between your charts, that one major square, like maybe a Saturn, your Saturn square that other person's Jupiter, or maybe your Pluto is square the other person's Mars. You know, you can really zero in on an issue, karma, on what we call a karmic issue that eventually can spell the reason why a relationship might teeter-totter, fall over, or end, or close. You know, oftentimes, if we do have strange aspect comparisons in our chart, like let's say you do have the planet of sex in your chart, Pluto in Leo, and you're dating a man, you're a woman, you're dating a man that has Venus in Scorpio square your Pluto. Well, everything else in your charts are fine. You have rising sign compatibility, you have moon sign compatibility. Basically, your Venus and Mars are okay, but you have that one Pluto in your chart square his Venus in Scorpio. You know, unfortunately, that one issue would be possibly either disloyalty, dishonor, or cheating, where you might catch him with another woman or discover that there is another lover. You know, it's funny, in a traditional sense, and I've talked about this quite a few times on the show, in a traditional sense, we do find people that were born closer to 1900 more able to either deal with their partners cheating on them or not being loyal as far as commitment is concerned, even in marriage. Also, even adhering to like some kind of intuitive denial, which prevents them from even recognizing that their husbands or their wives might have regular lovers on the side, more than one, through many, many years. And that way, these significant karmic aspects would not act as a breakup issue as much. You know, for the more traditional relationships, people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s lasting much longer and putting up with a lot more. Now, the younger folks, I would say people starting in their 40s, when Neptune hit Libra. Now, see, here's the key. Neptune hit Libra in the early 40s and stayed there for like 16 or 20 years. And Neptune in Libra is misplaced because Libra is relationships and Neptune is idealism. So those of us with Neptune in Libra are idealists, and we do expect perfection, even though it's that philosophy, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. We may not be loyal to our partners, but we expect it in return. It's that double standard. And, you know, oftentimes, because it is a strange placing in Libra, if we do find out that someone has been cheating on us, then sometimes we like to use that as a bailout button or as a way to cop out and run away or reject or process that relationship and give us a reason to get into something new. See, so the younger folks, people in their 40s and under, are people that would be more prone to using an aspect between two relationships, between two people, like a woman's Pluto and a man's Venus. Woman's Pluto, let's say, in Leo, squaring her boyfriend's Venus in Scorpio, almost exact. Let's say that woman has Pluto at 10 Leo, the man has Venus at 10 Scorpio. Then one day, the relationship is perfect. It's gone on for 10, 12 years. It's a marriage. It's got family and children. And then the woman finds out that her husband has been cheating on her. In fact, she catches him and finds out it's with a friend, not a friend in the family from Leo. In fact, it's her sister. Okay? This is a pretty intense aspect. And the heavy part about this is because this type of thing can even happen between soulmates. This sort of thing can even happen between people that are almost twin flames, if not twin flames. And the thing you have to ask yourself before this sort of thing happens, if you do notice you have one or two heavy squares, excuse me, in a comparison chart that you might have with your lover, with your partner, with your wife or your husband, then you better believe that the issue may come up one day. Something about the relationship might happen that can actually give you an angle or a cop-out factor to run and end it. Okay? And this sort of thing does not have to happen. It really doesn't have to happen. We do have something to learn from those people that do have Neptune in Leo and Neptune in Virgo, Neptune in Cancer from 1900 up to 1940. All these folks who are able to, who are not as idealistic in relationships and who are really able to let this stuff process itself and fade away, because there's like a rebirth of commitment or whatever. If you know people that are older, maybe your own parents, that have survived in long marriages, and you know your parents have not been loyal or whatever, but for some reason it still survived. If you put yourself in their position, you might be very different, because I myself really am a culprit here, because I have been known to break up several times in the past with ladies who I had caught, doing the dirty deed, right, with somebody else, and my Leo dignity was tainted, it was tarnished, I was severely affected, and of course I ran from that, and maybe possibly did run from relationships that could have been good for me in a way, but with that Neptune and Libra in my chart, because so many of us do want perfect relationship, perfect commitment, untarnished, no problems, no errors, no faults, you know, which frankly, because we are human, because in this dimension, all things must and do definitely pass, for sure. Eventually, everything goes, folks. That's why we're here to learn to let go, because eventually we even have to go and have to let go of everything that is here. That's the only way we can overcome the reincarnation cycle. So, you know, when you look at your lover's charts, and you do find that you do have that one square to their Jupiter or to their Saturn or to their Venus or to their Mars, let's go over each of the planets and find out what the possible karmic significance of this big bad aspect could be. And that way we can zero in a way as to what this issue, which could tear us apart from our friends or our lovers or whatever. And I will compare each planet with the sign it rules. And that way you can get an overview of the whole thing in total. Let's take the Sun, for example. The Sun and Leo energy, okay? The Sun and Leo energy is a dignity factor, which means that if you have a square to your lover's Sun, or they have a square to your Sun, or, and this is a friendship comparison, any comparison in relationships is called a synastry. When we compare one planet in your chart, take it out of the chart and hold it up and compare it to another planet in that other person's chart. So I have Sun and Leo, so that means if I'm going with someone that has anything in Taurus on one end or Scorpio on the other around 18, then they will pick up a square to my Sun, and that's what we call a significant karmic aspect, okay? And because Sun and Leo does rule dignity, it also rules family, it rules creativity and children, this is what the karmic issue could crop up with concerning this square. You know, one day the relationship could have a trigger or a karmic catalyst that could show a problem or an instability or something that will make that relationship uncomfortable and shatter the dream, shatter the fusion, shatter the vibration of bliss and happiness that has existed sometimes in an illusory state. And usually the issue, if it is an afflicted Sun or a Leo planet, will be a matter of dignity, family, children, creativity, or just basic love factor. Okay? Mercury is a planet that also affects the energies of Virgo and also Gemini. And oftentimes, if we do find a square to the Mercury between two charts, the significant karmic aspect that could arise that could spell doom to this relationship would be a lack of communication, a communication problem, somebody saying something that someone didn't hear, or somebody hearing something that somebody didn't say, discovery of a communication that could spell doom to the relationship because of discovering cheating or disloyalty or lying or stealing or whatever, and also because the Virgo-Gemini force is an analytical, sometimes negative or worrisome force, we could find the aspect to Mercury could be to trivial matters, worry, nitpicking, and petty situations if there's a square to that Mercury or a Virgo or a Gemini planet. Now, this is a great topic for those of you into relationships, and if you're studying synastry, this should help quite a bit. Venus, okay, Venus is a biggie. Venus is real big, and frankly, if you have many squares on your lover's Venus, or vice versa, could be a problem here, because this is the tenderness factor, and the Venus energy is synonymous with Libra and also Taurus force. So a square to your Venus or vice versa from your lover's chart could be a problem just concerning overall tenderness factors. what is important to the two beings, what is important to the two persons as far as how they love, how they touch, the pressure of touch. That's right. Some people with Venus in water might like little tender, soft butterfly touches, and Venus in fire or earth might need a little harder, more rougher, or, you know, a little bit more deeper caressing. See, so there's different levels of anatomy that are affected by pressure depending on where the placement of Venus and Mars are. Or, but because Venus does rule women and it also rules love and oftentimes sex and intimacy and romance, the karma here is focused on those areas and the loyalty of the being you're with. Because, you know, frankly, even if you have a square to your Venus from a friend, right, then the issue of karma here could be a problem where your friend's hitting up on your girlfriend, and that's the Venus square. Focus on a woman between the two of you, see? And Venus also rules money, so the issue could be a money problem there, money karma. And it also rules beauty or appearance or how someone looks, okay? Now, also, we talk about Mars, which is an energy that rules Aries. Okay, and also, whenever we look at Mars between two people's charts, it is the sex factor, it is the life force factor, energy, basic life energy, and it is also your health, and it is also your activity factor, how active you might be. And because Mars rules men in our lives, you know, the issue here usually could be another man coming between in the relationship, a male figure, could be a brother. By the way, Mercury could spell brothers and sisters karma to interfere in relationships, of course, and Mars is more of a masculine man or sexual situation karmically with the man. Venus would be more of a feminine being, and Mars be more of a masculine being. Same with afflicted Aries planets. You know, afflicted Aries planets could also spell that type of imbalance and energy imbalance. Jupiter is a strange one. Jupiter is a real strange problem, and so are Sag planets, which is what Jupiter adheres to, because Jupiter is a freedom factor planet. Which means if you are in a relationship with somebody and they have planets square your Jupiter, then freedom might be the issue, or travel even, or foreigners, okay, or philosophy, all right? So that's something to be aware of. And also afflicted Sag planets. Saturn is a biggie. Saturn is a real biggie. I have some friends of mine born in the 60s that have Saturn in early Pisces. I'm real glad about that because their Saturn trines my Venus and in Cancer and doesn't square anything in my chart. Early Pisces energy, early Scorpio energy is good for my chart because it doesn't square anything. So I'm real happy because Saturn and Uranus squares spell doom. And when it comes down, it usually hurts the hardest. These are real karmic aspects. Saturn, the planet of karma. Also, Capricorn energy planets in either one of your charts under square stress from a mate, you know, could spell lots of pain, suffering, martyrdom, and just a need to overcome, let go, process, adapt, and reach completion, which may take more time. So be aware of stress between Saturn in a person's chart. And you see, the two relationship charts could be perfect. You both be Pisces risings. One of yours is Scorpio. The other one's a Scorpio moon. You have Venus in Taurus, Mars in Capricorn trine each other, then all of a sudden you realize you have Saturn in Libra and it's squaring, it's conjunct your partner's Neptune and squaring his Uranus, and that's a biggie. That's a biggie, you know, and that's what we call divorce. Uranus is a divorce planet, so whenever it squares anything in a comparison chart, it could be a divorce factor in the future, a breakup, a separation, or a process needed. And this goes the same with Aquarius planets. Anything in Aquarius also would offer a reason why you'd be breaking up. It would be concerning. Also, Saturn and Capricorn planets connect career karma to relationships. Uranus and Aquarius planets would connect friend and goal karma. Interference of friends, obsessions with goals as a karma that would break up or cause a separation in your relationship. Neptune is a weird one because Neptune is so interdimensional. Oftentimes, when we have Neptune squares between the two charts of any lovers or friends or any relationships, it's because one person is being way too idealistic than the other. It is the Neptune that wants to try to change us to be that perfect, fault-free lover, and hence the deception which is possible because you don't want to lie, or you don't want to be, sometimes you're frightened to be too honest with this person that you know would freak out if their ideals were shattered, right? So Neptune squares can oftentimes spell doom because of the deception and the veil that is eventually lifted to reveal clarity, which is often shocking. Then I talked about the Pluto square earlier. Neptune also is synonymous with Pisces planets. So if you have Pisces planets under square anywhere in the two chart comparisons, then we are also dealing with emotions, deception, illumination, eventually clarity that can change relationships drastically. And the Pluto square is synonymous with Scorpio, of course, is sex, and it is a sexual karma, lack of sexual compatibility, lack of sexual continuity, sexual ego could be an issue. And also because Pluto is a sign of regeneration, transition, rebirth, it could be the shedding of the ego of one of the mates. And when they do shed their ego and gain the humility, they could realize the relationship's not for them and move on to somebody else. Okay, so be aware that even though we do find lots of good things when we compare relationships, that is it is the significant karmic aspects, the squares that exist. And if you don't know what a square is, it's when one planet in your chart is three full signs away. And you can take any sign, like Aries, and you go three signs away, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer. So Aries force will square Cancer force, and Taurus force will square Leo force, and so forth. Gemini squares Virgo, and Cancer squares Libra and Aries, and it goes on and on. Each sign has two signs that square it. Okay? So you can go three signs on either side if you know your signs in order. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. Then you will become aware that each sign has two square signs toward it, and that way, when you get in relationships and you find the squares between you and your lovers, you'll be aware of the significant karmic aspects you'll have to understand and embrace in order for that relationship to survive, because when those karma issues eventually are triggered by the transits, then the choice will usually be there for the relationship to be separated, to end, or to change and evolve. Okay? Great topic. I love that topic. And I felt it was important to teach you that. That way you won't be so idealistic as far as thinking things will last forever, because all things must pass, even though we'd like them to last forever.